you're hearing this before listening to the weekly show, are you sure you meant to do that? If not, stop now and go do that first.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
All right, let's listen to this Ross Geller invented dubstep thing.
Yeah, it's better with the video, but yeah, go on. In fact, it's probably really only good with the video. Bitches. Has the monster just kicked in with that big bass drop?
So 90s. It's awesome, I got laughter.
God, that was good. That was so good.
We need canned laughter on the show. That would be great. We should do an episode with canned laughter. Yes,
Do you think it was canned laughter, or do you think it was done in front of a live studio audience?
Both. Yeah, it was done in front of a live studio audience, but I'm sure they will have added the laughter, added extra laughter. They do that.
Oh, I love that. When there's the sounds in there that you kind of would say, if you were making music, you would not want to have these sounds in your music because it would make people go, oh, wince. But it turns out that if you do it right, it's just like, yes, I love it.
I'm pretty sure the brown note was in there because I've pooed my pants.
Oh, again? Must have had the yellow note as well. We are in the overflow so we can do what we like. Now, what were we talking about that we decided not to talk too much more about?
Well, we were going to talk about the larger issue with the Radio Live John Key Prime Minister's Hour. Oh, we should have a Prime Minister's... Can we get the Prime Minister in for an hour on Discourse?
Easy.
Easy.
As long as we don't talk about politics.
Well, that shouldn't be a problem. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to talk about.
Well, it doesn't matter what we ask. He definitely won't talk about politics because he's an evasive motherfucker who will smile and wave rather than addressing any issues because he doesn't have any answers to any of the real problems that are facing us. He's only got a flawed ideology, which is demonstrably wrong.
Demonstrably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right. There was this video today, a press conference of him talking about the stranded ship leaking oil all over beautiful Bay of Plenty. And what was it? It was at some point where people started to ask him, you know, a bit more about why was it taking so long? You know, people say you'll drop everything for the... Anyway, he just started talking. He started freestyling. He went off his like pre-prepared notes, and just started talking. And suddenly... He actually sounded different. Like his voice seemed to change, and he sounded like he was actually really talking.
Yeah,
and it was. I haven't watched a huge amount of John Key press conferences, but he didn't sound soundbite anymore. He sounded like he was actually talking and thinking about what he was saying.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen him briefly in a press conference. Like on one of those NZ Herald Co NZ videos where it's kind of unedited and you get the whole thing. Rather than the 5 seconds you'd get in the news, it gives you the whole 6 or 7 minutes. And the points where people were asking him questions and he was actually answering them directly, it was finance stuff, so it's definitely his wheelhouse. It was incredibly intelligent and insightful and sounded informed and sounded clued up. But he's not the finance minister. Why is that? I think he's a smart dude. He's just... He doesn't address any problems ever. He's so afraid of controversy that he always evades it. Man, this whole place is silent.
Oh, I think I've run out of
things. Oh, I love that.
Well, if you go in that level, you should play the Java one just to set the real tone of
the Java one. Oh, no, that's Nerdcore that you said even you didn't rate, and you are musically very forgiving.
So you are amongst the core of nerds. I didn't respond to you there because I muted my microphone temporarily to talk to my wife, who I care about very much and who came to talk to me. So there you go. I was listening to it.
I'm so tired that I can't even think of the right words to say.
All right, Robin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. That was fun.
Going to hang out with your folks in sunny Raglan.
Yay.
Are you in Regis?
Yep.
The oil-free coast.
Sweet down here.
For now.
You don't talk about Steve Jobs?
Just too soon.
Okay. It's okay. Do you need some time? Okay, yep. It's okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry to bring it up. I'm sorry.
Thank you again, Robin. It was grand having you on.
It was fun. Choice. Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right. The Steve Jobs thing, it's funny that she says too soon, because I think that's why everyone is so... We all knew that he was going to die, because we've been watching him getting sicker and sicker. And we know that he's had, you know, these incredibly dangerous procedures, the Whipple surgery, which I think kills a lot of people. It's difficult. Hardly any surgeon do it, I think. He had a liver transplant. I mean, that's big surgery.
I could do that.
You could give someone a liver transplant?
No, I could have my liver transplanted.
Yeah, you probably could, but you might die in the process.
Okay, well, I don't want to do that.
And whatever it was that caused you to need to have that liver transplanted probably would have, you know, a survival rate of something like 20% in 5 years. And the thing that he had a survival rate of something like 20% in 5 years, and he went more than 5 years. So even though we knew that he was going to die and we expected it to happen, I don't think anyone knew it was going to be then. I think that people didn't expect it to be so soon, because after all, he was a billionaire. You know, yeah. if the man who can get any doctor in the world, any team, any treatment, if the man who can get that just dies, then, I mean, what chance has any of us got? We've got no chance.
Well, The Onion solved that as well. Actually, have you seen that? There's a video on The Onion about it, which I thought was... I was surprised that they published it. But then again, it is The Onion. They're pretty awesome.
No, I didn't see it. A lot of people were extremely saddened by the whole thing. And I actually was surprised by how much I was affected. Maybe because I could see other people being upset. And maybe that was why I kind of was... I was surprised by how strongly I felt about the whole thing, actually. People have definitely diminished his achievements by talking about gadgets and glitz. People on both sides, people criticizing him and trying to diminish his achievements, as well as people who think that they're applauding him. They talk about just the gadgets. And I think that really, both sides are missing the point. It's very shallow just to say, you know, blah, blah, blah design.
There's been some really spectacularly weird hyperbole.
Yeah, on both sides.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, there is. So I'll do the thing from each side that sort of stands out. One is, I've seen, on more than one place, I've seen it suggested that Steve Jobs is responsible for the fact we have, you know, a computer in every home, which
is definitely not true.
Very implausible. The argument that then they went on to defend that was that, you know, that OS, Mac or Apple invented the graphical, you know, the GUI, and Windows just copied it, which is
they
ridiculous.
Didn't. They didn't. And he said that they didn't. He said that Xerox were idiots for letting them have it. And he said that Xerox, who invented the GUI and the mouse and a whole lot of other technologies that Apple kind of perfected and marketed, they were goons who would have been bigger than IBM, Microsoft and Apple combined if they'd done it themselves.
Yeah. So there's that. That's the hyperbole, you know, the oh my God, Steve is gone. What are we going to do? Hyperbole. And then the other side is good riddance, the good riddance hyperbole.
And I don't understand the good riddance at all. I don't understand the good riddance. No one is required...
Not good riddance, but the comes back to he wasn't a good person at all. You know, I don't care what anyone says. There's a whole lot of people who point out, now there's some legitimacy people pointing out, look, he had a shit ton of money, like a metric shit ton of money, and there's really no evidence of him being charitable with his money. And even he even ended apparently, I don't know, I haven't verified this, but even ended Apple's charitable program they had, you know, within the company. Yeah. Now that's, you know, that's disappointing. There's that. So that's whatever. But then the other people who go on to say, you know, that Apple's single-handedly, that
can we do one thing at a time? Can we do one thing at a time? Because it's going to be tough for me to respond to everything if we do too many at once.
Well, I'm just.
I would say number one.
Those are the two angles, really.
All right. Well, the first thing, the non-charitable thing. He wasn't publicly charitable. We have no way of knowing if he was privately charitable.
No, of course not.
A lot of people would say that the only true generous charity is private charity. Because if it's private secret charity, it's not about, look at me, look how good I am. So for instance, my thing with the whole Kiva thing, which we're doing with the VPN yep. money, that's not private. There's obviously some part of that is, look how nice we are using that tiny bit of money for something good. Look how nice we are. There is value to us in making that claim. There's no way anyone has of knowing that he wasn't giving $500 million a year. Probably we would have heard somehow. But now let me tell you why he closed the charity program. Now, this is my assumption. I'm not a big Apple historian. When he came back to Apple, they were fucked. That was in 1997. You know, they were so close to bankruptcy, they would have been out of business if it wasn't for Microsoft's bailout. Microsoft bailed them out to the tune of $150 million because they didn't want Apple to collapse. They got their money back within a few years, but if they hadn't done that, the company would have almost certainly been broken up and sold off for parts,
yeah.
right? So people would have taken the patents and you know, whatever, and the various staff would have gone everywhere. They were going under when he came back. Why do you think he came back? Okay, they bought Next, which was his company, but why did they do that? It's because they were fucked. They were in super deep trouble.
Apparently they were like about a month or two away from filing for bankruptcy.
Right, and as Raj in the chat room says, iMac saved their ass. Yes, but it wouldn't have been able to save their ass if they hadn't had that bridging finance. It's not how it was termed, but Microsoft financed them until they could fix their place in the market.
Yeah, which is very right? evident. And that's
another thing. Another thing about charity, Dylan. No, one more thing about charity.
Yeah.
Apple are the biggest donors to Project Red to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. It pales by comparison with Bill Gates and Warren Buffett stuff, but they have given hundreds of millions of dollars, I understand it's hundreds of millions of dollars, to, is it Bono? Or is he just a spokesman for Project Red? That do a whole lot of charitable stuff, and that is from the sale of their Red-branded iPods and so on. So they do have charity.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was, well, I think they're both hyperbole. I think that's, there's that side of it, and there's the other side of he's the greatest man who ever lived. I've actually seen it said that he was the greatest human who ever lived.
Definitely not true, but one of the best businessmen, one of the best marketers, and
certainly,
there's a great deal of value in that.
You measure success in business as well. Yeah. I mean, you know, phenomenally financially successful.
And that's not even just from Apple. He made his money making movies at Pixar.
So here's another. What was I? There was something else. Oh no, it escaped my brain.
Oh no.
Oh, no.
Well, that was the negative side. Now, are you going to look at the booster side?
Well, no. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's quite obvious about the. I don't know. People, I find it's the same as when he quit. I find it really hard that people put so much. I mean, I know he was, you know. I was going to say about charity, giving publicly.
Yeah.
One of the things that I would say in favor of giving publicly, especially for someone as high profile as Steve Jobs,
it encourages other people to do it as well.
It raises the profile of the charities to which he contributes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has done that for some charities.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. The thing that Apple is so integrally tied with Steve Jobs is that there was that huge terror that when Steve stepped down as CEO of Apple, that Apple would suddenly turn to poo, so they'd start making big square beige boxes again and whatever.
Well, it's the history. They're basing it on what happened last time he left.
Well, no, because I mean they were making beige boxes while he was there, and then he left, and they continued.
Well, they were making beige boxes at a time when it wasn't bad to make beige boxes.
Yeah, until he came back and then said, "Hey, let's not make beige boxes anymore." Now they've pretty much changed. You know, there's nothing about the Apple aesthetic that can ever go back to what it was. I mean, maybe it won't be the same, but I mean he didn't do it all himself. There's shitloads of people there who know the Apple brand and what it is.
Yeah,
it's not changing.
Yeah,
but it was the personification of Apple as a person. that seemed the weirdest. That has always seemed one of the weirdest things to me. Yeah, and there's the other thing. Someone in the chat room, Layton's mentioning the myth that he was an asshole, which I personally entirely believe. I'm sure he was at times an asshole.
It sounds like he was a bit of a prick, but he also did things like reading all the mail he was sent by the public and replying to a bunch of it. Now, sometimes his responses were glib or short, but I mean, how many CEOs of company, you know, the second or first biggest company, depending on, you know, the vagaries of the share price, how many CEOs of companies that big even read their email, let alone reply to it on their iPad?
Yeah.
Now, personally, what I think is that he should have stood down sooner. Some of the stories I've heard coming out of people telling, you know, their experiences with him, so that he was a family man who really valued his time with his family. I think he should have spent more time with his family because he doesn't get any more of that.
Presumably, get to spend that much time with his family before he died.
Yeah, another reason, right? That's right. Well, and also 56 years.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, but I mean, you know, there's not a shortage of stories about him being an incredible workaholic.
Yeah.
And that would be entirely required for the level of passion and whatever that he, you know, invested in his product.
Yeah. Layton in the chat room, if you want to keep carrying that on, why don't you get on Skype? Hey, why don't you do that? What else do we want to talk about? The direction of the company. Now, who was it? I was listening to another podcast. It was from 5x5. Maybe it was Marco Arment. It was Build and Analyze. Talking about how, what's the new name? The new guy's name is Cook?
Tim Cook.
Tim Cook. He described him as being basically the Apple equivalent of Ballmer at Microsoft. Not in the same kind of
developers.
Exactly. Not in that sense, but more in the sense that he is not necessarily going to continue driving the company to greater and greater heights, like was true of Microsoft under Bill Gates, but will maybe at least be steady hands. Yeah.
See, my thought, it could be worse. I could have gone the HP way and appoint a series of completely insane people.
Yeah, with a terrible board. Yeah.
Yeah, my thought about the, you know, as soon as you see the Steve Ballmer, what I thought about Steve Ballmer, I don't really know this for sure, but I just assume that, you know, he's been with the company so long that he knows it really well. Like, if you appointed from outside or from know, a newer employee, I guess. You know, you're going to get people who aren't familiar with the company in the ways that you can't be familiar with. You know, in the ways there's ways you can't be familiar with a workplace or a company until you've been inside it for such a long time.
I think Tim Cook has been with Apple for about 8 years.
Yeah,
something like that.
Or was he before the CFO or something?
I don't think so. I think he came from. He's a production line guy, right? I mean,
is he operational? Does he code? Does he build things?
No,
I don't
think so. I think what he does is make systems where stuff gets delivered right and high quality and quickly and efficiently. I don't know how you would most effectively describe that.
That broad description just kind of seems to sit with what Apple is broadly now. The, you know, a company that that specializes in doing that and making products that deliver something.
This is a momentary aside. On Twitter, we got Rowan Crawford at Wimbledon. Sweet, I found out what I can do for Discourse's election thingy, imitate Takai's voice. And he's actually uploaded a sample, but unfortunately, he now says it's a bit meh now that he's listened to it. He's put it up for us to listen to it. Let's not be too critical, okay? This is a safe place. We're all friends. Let's see what happens.
It's okay to be decay. Retweet me hard and often.
The first bit was better than the second bit. The second bit sounded a bit too Kiwi.
It's okay to be decay.
That's pretty good.
It's a hard voice.
I'm totally willing to employ the services of as many impersonators as we can find. my request now, my official request, I want someone.
Alison Holst, am I right?
No.
Grease it up. She wants
to get there.
You want Alison Holst to be talking about greasing it up with goose fat rubbing your fingers on it. And
no, I've got that already. No, what I want is Christopher Walken.
Oh, come on. Seriously? Yeah. Well, we've got a Christopher Walken.
Where?
Andy.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Come on now.
Cool. Yeah, we need. Wow. We could have Chris Walken as our continuity voice.
Yeah. Oh, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Thinking out loud.
Now, let's see. Where are you, Leighton? I don't see you.
He's not turned up to the internets.
He says, Skype's finally got me logged in, but I don't actually see you there, champ.
He's just needed on my Skypes, so whatevs.
Let's just see what happens if I just drop him in. Might work. Never know.
There's a question mark and a thing that's doing stuff.
Oh, no, now it says he's online, but I added him before it said he was online.
Oh, no, what's going to happen?
Are you there, Leighton?
I am here. Hold on, I'll just got to pause this other stream. That's better.
Oh, it gets really confusing when you hear them both. Wah!
Yeah, the echo.
There we go.
It's madness. That's so, so Steve Jobs and Apple, you were saying that people criticizing him for being an asshole, maybe I'm missing the point, and maybe it's a mischaracterization.
Yeah, so I know a few people that work at Apple and who have worked with Steve sort of kind of indirectly, but I think it's kind of an unfair characterization. I mean, sure, I'm sure he could be an asshole at times, just like everyone, but I don't think it would be fair to characterize him like that.
I've never been an asshole in my life.
I mean, I think the impression that I get was that he was extremely demanding of people.
Yeah.
But not to a point in general where it was unreasonable.
Yeah. Sometimes when you want to get things done, you've got to be short sometimes.
Yeah, that's probably just his style. I don't think that's... some people might take that as being an asshole, but I don't see that as being, you know, a malicious character.
Yeah.
I would imagine
that broadly, I don't think he was an asshole. I think at times he was assholeish, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. Like, yeah, the stories I see are from people, you know, it's like in situations where people aren't delivering the product he wants them to, you know, he'll yell at them.
Or fire them.
And humiliate them. And that's, you know, there is no shortage of people who say that's a shitty way to be a manager, but there's also really, really no shortage of people who manage that way.
Yeah.
I think the way I've seen it put is that, you know, he had low tolerance for people who were, you know, just subpar.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah, well, that's valuable because there's plenty of subpar people.
Yeah, I think he could judge someone's character and decide whether he actually wanted to deal with them or not. And if he didn't, then they'd know that. And maybe that's where the asshole characterization comes from. But in general, I don't know. You kind of see that as, you know, a broad characterization of the guy. And I don't think that's probably necessarily accurate.
Quite right. I should say we've just been joined on the Overflow by Leighton Duncan, Apple developer extraordinaire. Creator of Airforms, and who knows how many other apps. Is that your big one at the moment?
Yeah.
That's your big one right now, yeah?
That's definitely the big one at the moment.
Main guest, I would say, on the best episode of Discourse ever, which was the Christchurch special. We will never surpass the Christchurch special, I'm afraid. Oh, actually, maybe the election special will be, it'll be different.
A different kind of special.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The other thing I wanted to say was about, you know, the family side of things. And I think it was interesting to see his comments to, is it Isaacson, the biographer?
Yeah.
About, you know, why he even decided that, you know, he would participate in the biography. And I think his ultimate thing was that he wanted his kids to know who he was.
Right.
And I don't know, the way he put it was kind of interesting in that I think he, like, we don't know a lot about Steve Jobs outside of Apple. You don't know what there's never been a, you know, a clear picture of what he was like.
It's very
with his
private.
Family and, yeah. And that sort of thing. So I think that'll be interesting to see what comes out of the biography with that. So
he's saying he wants his kids. Does that sound like a regretful comment about not having spent enough time with them? Or
I don't know. I think it's kind of like he thought what he was doing. Maybe I'm reading too far into it, but I kind of get the impression that he thought what he was doing at Apple was truly one of the best things that he could do for his kids.
Yeah.
Well, and a calling for him as well. I mean, you don't.
Yeah.
Ignore that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I think, I saw a comment a day or two after he died about, how he should have spent more time with his kids and things like that. But the reality is there's very few people that know the whole story kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's also very few people who can say after raising children that,
right.
At least I imagine, that they've spent as much time as they would have liked to.
Your exactly. Fucking children, Dylan.
I've spent children. More than enough time with them.
Me too.
Yeah.
Although I'm very happy to spend more time with them, but maybe not when they're shedding viruses all over the place. Because your bloody son, with his snotty nose and his cute little face, gave me the most annoying cold I've had in such a long time. It never even went far enough as, to give me even so much as a decent cough or a good headache. But it gave me the most annoying runny nose for 2 or 3 days that I've had in such a long time. I'm very frustrated by that weak little virus. No, seriously. It's like usually...
Is that your summation of my son or
No, of course not. No, he's a lovely little boy. Not very good with toys, but a lovely little boy.
you clearly met my children.
It's the sort of virus where it's like, I can't quite believe this managed to defeat my defenses, given how pathetic it is.
It was funny. There's the Steve Jobs, I want my children to know how, like, I wonder what it must have been like for him after spending so much time dedicated to his work to suddenly face his mortality.
Mm.
It must have been, you'll never know because, I don't know, maybe we will know, maybe the biography will be revealing, but you'll never know, like, how it changed his perceptions.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
And we do know he was, he clearly was really dedicated to his work and something of a workaholic, but what did that do? What did having terminal cancer do to change how he...
I think it focused his ideas like a laser. I think it probably meant that these products came out sooner. I think it probably gave him even more drive. But I think that actually it also caused him to split his life more effectively. Based on some of the... I mean, it's all friggin' secondhand stories and people trying to tie themselves closer to Steve than maybe they deserve, or who knows. People who have children at the same school as he did have spoken about him being at plays and just being generally around. People that live in the area talk about just seeing him walking every day. And some of the photos that have come out that maybe they were visible before, but not so much, as he kind of got thinner and it kind of looks mournful, walking around contemplative and sitting on park benches, presumably playing Angry Birds on his iPhone.
Almost certainly.
Or who knows what.
Or Chopper 2.
It's, of course, absolutely. Just like
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was cool. I bet he uses earphones as well, though, Leighton.
I'm sure he does.
it's very important not to forget, in amongst all of this, that he was a human, and he was an engaged human who probably saw all of the people criticizing him. And I know I don't like it when people criticize me for my useless, stupid shit. And that's only like 2 or 3 people. Tops.
Sorry.
You're all here.
Yeah, it's you and my mum. I'm so disappointed. You're ruining everything, is what she says.
I'm angry with you, Morgan. We're just disappointed.
We only say it because we care.
So he was a human, and there have been some very interesting stories. And I think death is a pain in the ass. And if you haven't seen everyone's seen his commencement speech, but maybe you should check it out.
You know what?
Because everything he says is true.
I was angry with him when he died because he fucking ruined Twitter. I could not use Twitter for the next like 4 hours after he died. It was just
it got in the way of the rugby tweets.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah. So there you go. Everyone's going to die. Not everyone is going to get as much done as Steve Jobs did.
Yeah, it's kind of the hard thing to believe. He was only 56.
It's incredible. He was so young.
Which is incredibly young. And the things that he's done in that time is just unbelievable. So.
And given that the greatest things Apple has ever released have been coming out in the last few years, it makes it doubly a shame, I think, that he went now. Because he is at, you know, the peak, the pinnacle of his career when he left. He wasn't, you know, at the end of a long, slow downslope like someone like Steve Ballmer.
Absolutely not. I think his ultimate legacy isn't going to be those products or anything like that. It's going to be the culture that he instilled in, you know, a generation of particularly, you know, the software developers that I associate with in the iOS and Mac community. Yeah. It's, you know, that. I guess culture and level of attention to detail, which is going to be his biggest legacy, I think, rather than, you know, the individual products that we've seen, because they'll come and go, and new things will replace them. But that's kind of the ultimate common theme from start to finish of his achievements, I guess.
And that's very interesting. Talking about attention to detail, if you look at, you know, the 2 or 3 dozen PC laptops at a, you know, a large electronics store.
Yeah.
The attention to detail is the thing that's not there. Thinking about the experience. Sorry?
They have the attention to stickers.
They have the attention to stickers. Ugly laptop stickers. Friggin' stickers that you have to peel off.
And then when you do, you get this gummy shit that's left there for months.
And shovelware installed in the operating system. So, I mean, the manufacturer maybe makes an extra dollar for putting this crap on the computer and making the life of their customers worse.
But
what?
If you buy a MacBook, it's going to come with fucking OS X installed.
OS X is... I don't Carry enjoy on. Using just, it very much.
Oh, God.
I don't...
Just trolling.
Here we go again.
I'm not taking it.
You're the biggest beta on Twitter, as far as I'm concerned. So saying that you're not taking the bait, it's very unfair, Leighton. I don't enjoy OS X. OS X, I think, is actually the least of Apple's achievements lately, technologically. I think that their hardware is the best.
Really?
Yep.
It's kind of the thing that's...
OS X's no good.
To do everything, really, in the last 14 years. So.
Yeah, but the user interface is just... Well, okay, sure, it's important. I mean, you do need an operating system. You do. And they did need the differentiation from not using the same one as everyone else in the world. That's true. But I just don't think that OS X is particularly special. I don't enjoy using it. And iOS, I also, maybe it's really lovely to code for. But when I change between Android and iOS, and I own and use both kinds of device. I'm in the middle there.
So do I.
When I change between Android and iOS, I feel like part of my brain's been removed because there's some really basic things that you can't easily do on iOS. Maybe it's great as a developer, but I think that as an advanced user, there are really obvious things that I can't do. I mean, little things that aren't even a big deal. Like, for instance, why are there four columns and 5 rows of icons on a screen, which I think is probably about the same as on the iPhone, or is it 4 and 4? Is it 4 and 5 or 4 and 4 on the iPhone? Basically the same number of icons on the iPad as on the iPhone when the screen is so much bigger? Why can't I just say I want 5 columns and 6 rows? Is the consistency really that important that I can't get rid of this unnecessary space? Because there'd still be plenty of space between them. It'd still be a clean grid. And why, when I swipe left, do I get that stupid search page that I will never, ever use?
You never use search?
On the iPad. I've never used the search on the iPad. Never. Why would I? There's nothing to search. There's just a few pages of icons, and I know where everything is.
Your email, your contacts, your applications,
But I'll just open. I'll just open my email, and it's there. It's in there.
But it's a quick way of getting there.
I don't like it. I don't like that it's the first thing. I also don't like that there's no widgets.
What a widget!
I hate that.
Oh, and on Android, you could have something like a calendar display at a glance. So you could have like your agenda for the day just as a widget displayed on the page rather than having to load an application.
It's what most people call junk.
Well,
I'm not taking the bait.
That's fair. And the thing about widgets is that you don't need to add them. You can choose to add them in Android. You can choose. Also, why when I click on an empty bit of wallpaper or press dab, an empty bit of the screen or long hold or anything, do I not get like wallpaper settings or something? I get nothing.
Why would you? I mean, how?
Because
how
you do on Android and it's useful all the time.
You change it daily?
Not daily, regularly. But why is there no shortcut? Why does it do nothing when it could easily do something?
Why should there be a shortcut? Shortcuts are...
There is an Android and it works great. There is an Android and it works great.
And, okay, I got one. So, why is it so fucking
Android,
easy?
It should be an iOS.
Why is it so fucking easy to uninstall apps?
Hey?
You know how you hold down... You hold down a screen or something and then the apps all start to vibrate and there's like an X?
Yeah. You have to confirm it, though.
So you have to hold down the icon...
It's just
attach the X and then confirm the delete.
Yeah.
But it deletes the icon. It doesn't just delete the icon. Well, I suppose there is no. I was going to say it doesn't just delete the icon. It removes the application, but there's no.
That's appropriate. No, I like that.
I just hate it because my fucking 3-year-old.
Oh, right.
Also, now almost every single app on my iPad is in one of 3 folders.
Okay, but that's funny. I approve.
It's funny,
of that,
but I wish I could
case.
Disable it, and I can't. There's no way I can turn that off. I can't turn off the long touch behavior.
So just like your inbox, you just want all your apps in one big list.
Yeah.
In your inbox.
Isn't that kind of the Windows Phone 7 approach? Put everything on one page and just slide up it?
In the start menu.
Yeah.
Just keep scrolling.
Scroll forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. These are just little criticisms which I think would be really easy to change, to implement, without affecting it for the majority of people who want it exactly the way it is.
But it's just junk.
But it's not
most
junk.
Most people don't care about it. And that's
well, okay, well, that's fine. But there are lots of things that, well, okay, well, so that's cool.
I don't care about that.
Like, so here you come to the Apple thing and one of the big things. So, it's my problem with Apple on every level of everything I do with Apple computers ever, from the OS to, as I've talked about in the past, Final Cut Pro 10.
Here we go.
No. But it's it's a defining line, and it works in Apple's favor and against Apple. And that is, like what Leighton says, is why would you want that? Most people don't need it, and that's the point. Is that Apple's products are designed almost militantly for most people.
Yeah. You know, size 13 shoes will fit on almost everyone's feet. But,
exactly. But
most people won't actually be very good fit. But your feet will go in them. From size 3 up to size 13, they'll all fit. Maybe even size 14 can squeeze their feet in there. And I feel like I've got size 14 feet.
But that's the argument, isn't it? By adding those things back into it or into it to start with, depending on where you've come from, they increase the complexity and make it a more alienating experience for people who are new to it.
And that's what, I mean, but there's ways to implement it.
I think they just don't see the value in adding stuff for the sake of, you know, a tiny minority of people.
Well, and that's the thing.
Which is their whole thing. So, yeah, I guess.
To me, the Final Cut Pro thing has exemplified that so much better than any other example.
Well, that's kind of a more interesting thing. And that's kind of the thing I've seen with the more server business side of Apple is that they've just totally moved away from that. They're just not interested in that anymore.
No, because it's niche. It doesn't, like, I think they used to be interested in products that they can't sell, you know, 3 million of.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a change which has happened in the last few years. So,
I'm not sure if it's a good thing.
Is software development a niche thing now?
No. In fact, it's gone the opposite way because with things like the App Store, they've made... I mean, shit. Like, who the fuck... Even if you knew how to write software before, who could write software and sell it and actually make money before.
Yeah, little like, apps, little apps, right? Things that like, once upon a time would have been shareware on Windows.
Exactly, the shareware apps, and you had to fucking find them, and there was two cows, and then, you know, and who would bother registering them, and it's just like, whereas they've taken, you know, as we've talked about for movies and music, the better than free model,
yeah,
and pushed it out onto a whole new level.
Mm.
And so, you know, so development has gone from a niche thing where, you know, who the fuck could make money, you know, making software. And now that there's, I don't even know, I mean, I can't imagine how many people term themselves app developers now these days.
How many are registered? 100,000? Something like that, I think, right?
Oh, I think there's more than that. Probably up around 200 now.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy pants. I have a question for
way
you.
Way too like, many.
Yeah, way too many. That's way too many.
Would you categorize Apple and Steve Jobs, but Apple generally Steve Jobs because people have a difficulty separating the two, as innovators? Because one of the things about Steve Jobs was that he was, you know, the greatest innovator in computing, or essentially along those lines.
Yes.
Yeah?
But I think there's a distinction between inventing stuff and...
Yeah, I suppose actually you have a point about innovator.
I think their real talent wasn't in inventing stuff necessarily, although they did components of their stuff was definitely novel and inventive. I think... You know, their ultimate thing is how can we implement this, how can we get these features to a point where a user can actually use them rather than just implementing the features? How can we make sure that people are actually going to use this? And their real skill lied in the ability to do that, I think. Because, I mean, if you look at the iPhone, technically, there wasn't a hell of a lot you couldn't necessarily do on an existing smartphone that you could do on the iPhone.
Yeah.
It was just the fact that the iPhone was packaged in such a innovative way that, you know, people could actually use it.
Yeah,
Apple on the back of it.
That's especially true of when it was very first released, that first generation one with no app store. The apps were what I think actually getting apps on there was the important innovation with the iPhone.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't an interesting phone until they had that.
I was going to say that the innovation was not having J2ME and saying, we don't need this.
Yeah.
We can give you a good phone experience and not have that J2ME crap.
Mm.
And also we can give you a good phone experience and not have Flash, fuck you.
Mm.
And the whole carrier side of it, particularly with the iPhone, obviously.
The carrier side was important. And yeah, so
taking back that control was extremely important.
Carriers are the enemy. They want you to not use their network that they sell you. They have no interest in using it.
They make money when you don't use it.
Yeah. Vodafone are the enemy. They are so in the way.
I understand that in a couple of spots in the downtown Auckland you can receive internet data on Vodafone's network.
Outside the Vodafone building.
Not there. Yeah, you have to go on Wi-Fi. No, because it was like, you know, I read that and there was a whole lot of people going, oh, yeah, I know. And I thought, well, nothing, I can't think of a single product of Apple's that is truly an innovation. And what I thought of when you're talking
message
about
pad,
was...
MessagePad 2000, MessagePad...
Newton. Yep. The word innovation, I think, I came up with a new word. Improvovation.
And that's their big thing, I think.
Yeah. I think that's... But it was. I wondered what your perspective on it was, because, you know...
Yeah, I know what you're getting at.
Fucking Apple nerd.
Can I just drop this for a second?
They don't necessarily invent it.
Sorry, as you were.
I loved the ding right at the end there.
As you were, gentlemen.
It does make it.
Oh, I hope everyone else was dancing around like a madman like I was.
I waved my hand in the air in an arrhythmic fashion.
Corn beef.
Corn beef. Yeah, I don't know. There you go. That's Apple. The Steve Jobs thing it was baffling, enlightening, depressing. It was all sorts of weird things all at once.
Yeah.
Not his death. His death was sad. No question, you know. Sad that no one should.
Like every death.
Oh, except for Richard Stallman. No, you're right. Richard Stallman was right. He should have.
Ugh, what a cunt, eh?
He is a fuckwit. He always has been a fuckwit.
I think he's got a reputation of being a dickhead. Stallman.
Yeah. And so, really? so then he has to live up to it.
Yeah.
I saw Coz posted some stuff from a few years back about Stallman and his attitude towards other people, and yeah. I start to wonder whether it's kind of like an actual, you know, mental,
some kind of pathological thing.
Yeah, no, rather than just him being an asshole.
Yeah.
My fucking flatmate offered Richard Stallman our couch once when he was visiting New Zealand. Thankfully, he did not take us up on it.
Oh God.
Yeah. Pruno. I would quite like to try Pruno. It's the tomato sauce, the ketchup.
How much do you need? Because you just, what are you looking for from the sauce?
I'm not actually sure. It's been on Wikipedia. It's described as vomit flavored wine cooler.
Sounds appealing.
Wine cooler, yeah. Then.
Their common ingredients. They say it's variously made from apples, oranges, fruit cocktail, ketchup, sugar, and possibly other ingredients, including crumbled bread.
Ah, now the bread is, I think, I know what the bread is for, because the bread introduces yeast, but.
Yeah.
But I bet there's some Pruno recipes online.
Mm. Yeah, I actually don't. I don't know. The tomato sauce is the thing that makes me think I wouldn't want to try it. If it didn't
not
have
the
tomato
fact that
sauce.
Fermented fruit juice, that's not the problem.
Of course not. What I mean, wine is fermented fruit juice.
Yeah, but it's gone.
Fijoa wine, delicious.
All right.
Plum brandy, delicious. Absolutely, I have no problem with fermentation. I'm a big fan of fermentation. In fact, I think many of us probably are fans of fermentation in various forms. But putting tomato sauce into a fermented beverage, or as one of the fermentation products, it's a tough thing.
I don't imagine the tomato sauce flavor stays.
Oh, but some aspect of it must be there, because it's not like they're distilling.
It's all kinds of.
They use a towel or sock to conceal the pulp. So I guess, do they stuff it all in the sock and then put that in hot running water and away they go? Although flavor, Wikipedia goes on to say, flavor is often not the primary objective.
Yes. It also says in Wikipedia that the alcohol content can range from 2% to 14%.
14%,
man, you'd be
good.
You'd be pissed off.
You'd be ripped at two.
Oh, man, how pissed off would you be? You're like, I'm drinking this shit, but I'm not even getting buzzed.
Got it.
Oh, boy.
So prison lingo calls the fermenting mass of fruit the motor. The motor. And that is retained from batch to batch. So
well,
that will contain a bunch
like
of yeast.
It's like a good sourdough. You need the
it's the starter.
The starter, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you had lots of sugar, I don't think you'd need to add all these other ingredients. Doesn't need to have a lot of flavour. Just ferment just plain sugar. See what happens. Still wouldn't be very nice. I mean, if you think how badly, I don't know if you've tried many homebrews, Dylan, Mark, or Leighton. I've had a few homebrews, homebrewed ginger beer as well, and it can be bad. And that is following a recipe with specific ingredients, and it can be quite nasty. So imagine this kind of random concoction. God, it must be terrible. The American Homebrewers Association, at the National Homebrew Conference in Las Vegas in 2004, held a Pruno competition. It doesn't say what happened.
Oh, I'm sure it went well.
There is a recipe for prison Pruno on Jarvis J. Masters' site on pen.org. It's linked from the Wikipedia. I'll put it in the show notes maybe. Take 10 peeled oranges. How do you get that in prison? Maybe it's easy.
Well, you've got to give them fruit. You don't want a prison full of scurvy people.
Take 10 peeled oranges, 1 8-ounce bowl of fruit cocktail. Squeeze the fruit into a small plastic bag and put the juice along with the mash inside. I don't know what the mash is.
The mash is the squeezed fruit.
Right. Add 16 ounces of water and seal the bag tightly and place the bag in your sink and heat it with hot running water for 15 minutes. Are you reading the same thing I'm reading, Dylan? Are you impressed able to follow this? Because this is the let me read this exactly as it's written. Take 10 peeled oranges, Jarvis Masters, it is the judgment and sentence of this court, 1 8-ounce bowl of fruit cocktail, that the charged information was true. Squeeze the fruit into a small plastic bag and the jury, having previously on said date, and put the juice along with the mash inside, found that the penalty shall be death. See, it's impossible to read.
Well, to be fair, it was written as a poem.
Do you think so?
It was. It's mentioned in the Wikipedia article.
Oh. So you heat this bag for 15 minutes under hot running water and wrap towels around it to keep it warm. And you put the bag in your cell for only 2 days. And after 2 days, add 40 to 60 cubes of white sugar. Man, it must be hard to get all this stuff in your cell in prison. I guess a different, like, maximum security, minimum security, whatever. You're allowed
sure
more stuff in your cell.
In prison, but they're very innovative.
Bum sex.
Bum sex, not so hard, probably.
And after putting in the sugar, put in 6 teaspoons of tomato sauce, they say ketchup. And heat again for 30 minutes under the tap. And put it away again for another 3 days. Reheat every day for 15 minutes under the tap. And skim off the mash with a spoon and pour the remaining portion into 2 18-ounce cups. And away you go.
Sounds good.
That tomato sauce.
Sounds like a lot of effort.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you want to...
I might just walk to the kitchen and get a scotch.
I haven't had... When's the last time I had booze? I went and had... I had a beer after the Ireland-Australia game. So that's a few weeks ago. That's the last time I had a drink, I think. It's very easy to go a while without having any booze, I find, not being alcoholic.
I find that it's incredibly easy with a lot of children. By a lot, just
honestly, living with 3 children would drive me to drink more often, probably.
Yeah, but I have to be moderately conscious when they wake up in the middle of the night and demand something.
Like, take me to hospital.
Like, take me to hospital, or like...
Is it frightening having children?
Child.
It must be frightening having children. I've taken care of kids a little bit. Like I took, with Selena, a couple of little girls out, who were also on the Christchurch special, just to the movies.
They were better than Lunkin. They were better than Leighton.
Lunkin, eh?
Lunkin. That's right. That's a short name.
Lunkin Appleseed. New nickname. Just call Dylan Selwyn. He likes it.
Morkel. You're Morkel.
No, I'm Ben. Have you already forgotten?
and Mark.
I'm just
Marriket.
Marriket.
Anyway,
just call him Derwin.
Yes, children are scary.
It seems frightening because they're so stupid and they move so they move so fast.
Yep.
And they literally have no brain.
Yes.
I don't know about that.
No, he's fucking right. No, but you know what, though? There's this period, like, I swear to God, the first child,
yeah,
right, they give you this baby. They give you this baby at the hospital, like, 2 days after he's, you know, arrived into the world. And they're like, okay, off you go. You know, what? No, what the fuck?
What? Now what? What do I do with this thing?
You're going to let me leave with this?
Yeah.
You know I'm an idiot, right?
Yeah.
No, there's that. But after a while, you just become this. I like seriously, my children. One of my children specifically, who is the big whingy bitch. Is that? Can you hit the corrections thing?
Term, right?
Can you hit the corrections thing for me for a second there?
Corrections.
I should be clear. My oldest child is in fact a big whingy dick.
Corrections.
Bitch.
I hope she's not listening.
It's a he. That's why he's a dick, not a bitch.
Corrections.
He's just such a whinger. Like, honestly, like, the smallest thing sets him off. So it's now got to the point where I've noticed that.
I noticed that about him when we were at Ben's place for, like, a Christmas thing, like, 2 or 3 years ago. And he dropped, like, a piece of bread in his shirt and started crying.
Yeah, I have so little compassion for it now. It's quite horrible.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. Children, there's weird like personality shit that happens because then the next one is just like rip shit and bust. He could break his arm and be, I don't literally know this. He hasn't broken his arm. I've not injured him. He could
spiral
break
fractures,
his arm,
grain slip fracture.
Be running around totally fine like 30 seconds later. While if the other one so much as even, oh, like, okay, he cried the other day because he stroked the cat. And the cat, because he'd been asleep, woke up and stretched. And obviously when cats stretch, their claws come out.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, the cat was going to scratch me. I'm like, no, he wasn't. Oh, like literally. So after a while, you develop this callousness towards children's vulnerabilities.
I'm pretty intolerant of crybabies. So yeah, I would be very disappointed if my child, my hypothetical future child, was a crybaby. Actually, I'd probably be very proud of my child, but I would try somehow to encourage it out of them. I don't know how you do that. I don't either.
I've tried saying just fucking harden up, and that's not been successful. I've also told him that pain is the softness leaving his body. Not working.
Dad, I'm 6. My body is meant to be soft.
Something like that. So, yeah, parenting. Woo.
Parenting's tough. I'm really afraid of having children. I'm really very afraid of
them. Yeah. Like, oh, fuck, man. Before children, honestly, does Mrs. Dillon approve of this? Mrs. Dillon isn't listening. Before I had children, someone would try and hand me a baby to hold, and I'd be like, no. So and now I have 3 of them. What the fuck?
Hey, Dillon.
Hey.
Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer, even though you're not currently in America or the UK?
Oh my God, yes.
Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, or Russia?
As it happens, I do.
Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet, maybe because your government or someone is trying to look at you because of laws?
I suppose.
Tell them to mind their own business while you mild your own. Go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up.
I bet it's expensive.
It's surprisingly inexpensive.
So is Leighton still there?
I'm still here.
I hear you guys had another earthquake yesterday.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, come on. Yesterday and every other day.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I can't even remember it, but yeah.
Have you considered moving out of Christchurch, Leighton?
I have, actually, as it happens.
How much have you considered it?
Reasonably seriously.
Yeah.
But problem is, I don't know.
Where... All your friends are there. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to decide where else you want
to
go.
Move to, though.
Do you like volcanoes and driving everywhere?
Yeah, see, that's kind of part of the problem. I'd rather not move to right on top of a fault or another fault which is yet to blow. And volcanoes don't really do it for me either, so...
Look, what's the chances of a volcano erupting in Auckland?
It's about as likely as an earth-shattering earthquake in Christchurch. Come on, Dillon.
Should I, like, as a responsible parent, should I have water and shit prepared for the inevitable volcano explosion?
The kids will provide all the shit you need. Water, maybe that's a good idea.
Mm. I think water will be the least of your problems if...
If a volcano goes up, we're going to have days of warning. Seriously, we'll have days of warning. That's not something that just goes pop.
Yeah.
It's because it takes a long time for the magma to make its way up through the ground.
Actually,
and we've got sensors everywhere.
Honestly, if there's any volcanic activity in Auckland, I think I will take a holiday somewhere for a while.
Oh, absolutely. And you don't even really need to go that far. Because to get away from the really dangerous flow and explosion, like, I mean, we're not in a caldera. I mean, Taupo's a caldera, I think.
Yeah, but that'd take out most of the North Island, to be honest, wouldn't it?
An actual caldera, yes, it would. It would be terrifying. But even there...
I've got a caldera.
You don't have to be that far away.
One of the top 7 super volcanoes or something.
Taupo, yeah.
That's right. But you still only need to be, 100 kilometres away and you won't be incinerated. You'll just be incredibly frustrated by the choking ash.
You won't immediately die, but you'll... Yeah.
Well, I mean, you'll have time for there to be a humanitarian disaster around you.
Yes. Well, wouldn't that be fun?
Do you have an iPhone 4S yet?
I don't. But I'm in Australia in a couple of weeks, so I'll probably pick one up.
Right.
Not that I really... I don't know. I'm not too excited about it. The only thing
was
I'm...
Was it disappointing?
Well, I wasn't really expecting much, to be honest. I'm quite happy with the 4, to be honest. And I don't think... The only thing which is interesting to me about the 4S is Siri.
Yeah. I don't think Siri is that exciting. I think a lot of people imagine they're going to use it in particular ways, like dictation, and they're not going to use it that way.
Hang on, let me just try.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. Because
while you
guys
are talking, I'll just...
Yep. I think what Apple are doing isn't just voice recognition. It's the whole AI component to it
as
well.
It's not AI, though. It's not AI.
There's a certain amount of natural language.
I'm sending a tweet from my voice. That didn't work.
No, not if you're going to talk to it like that. I am sending a tweet from my voice. It's not going to work.
My voice is my password. My voice is my password. Fuck.
There was a video of a test on...
Tweet with my voice.
Did that work?
I said it and hit the tweet button without reading it, so we'll see.
I don't know. I saw a video of someone demoing it in quite a crowded, noisy room, and it seemed to pick up the commands reasonably well.
Okay, yeah. But in a quite crowded, noisy room, are you going to talk to your phone?
No, never.
No, but I guess that's kind of a good test of, whether it can decipher.
But are you even...
And it wasn't... People weren't talking to it like retards,
Like I just did.
I think people might use it when they... Niche users, sports people might use it, like joggers or whatever might use it.
I think the big thing is going to be
drivers. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think people in the car are going to use it. But outside what? Changing music tracks, answering calls when they come in. But that's quite limited. But I think that people
reading email,
imagine that...
No, don't do that, even with a voice, while you're in the car.
Why?
Because that's fun.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous to distract yourself, I think. I think you should focus on driving. It's a dangerous activity for the people around you. I'm sure that they've made great leaps. Now, who is it that makes it? Nuance or someone? Siri?
Well, Nuance is the... voice recognition side of it.
Yeah.
But that's only, half the picture. The other half, which came from Siri itself, the company. Because Nuance does a whole bunch of voice recognition stuff for different companies, and it's, a license call sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the actual AI stuff, which is, once you've actually got the words that people have said, how do you interpret that into an actual command? Rather than, just having a list of commands that it recognizes that can actually parse real sentences. I think that came from some government research over the last 10 years or so.
Mm.
So I think that's going to be an interesting bit to see how well that works.
I think natural language stuff like that is quite exciting for probably mainly for blind users.
Actually, absolutely. What,
there's the whole accessibility side of stuff, which is...
Here's the thing. This is a feature that is for just a few people.
What?
I think. I don't know. I think talking to your phone. Like I've had phones for the last shit since. I've had phones since at least 2003 that had varying levels of voice control capabilities, and I've still barely ever used them. And not because they were too shit, but just because it wasn't really how I would interact with it.
No.
It's interesting that it's only going to be on the 4S as well, not on the 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Well, considering because Siri's already on the 4.
Because I heard it was because of the dual-core CPU on the 4S, they needed the processing power.
Yeah, it's not true.
At least that's what they were claiming.
Yeah, well, it's not
They could
true.
just do the Google approach and just upload a sound file to the cloud.
No, you don't need to do that.
Well, that's what they are doing, I'm pretty sure. I'm almost certain there's a cloud component to the AI stuff, because that's how they're... Because all those sorts of AI systems are essentially neural networks, so they're, they develop over time and get better as people use them. So,
Like Swipe. Swipe, the best mobile keyboard. I think, Mark, you don't like Swipe. You use an alternative one?
I use Slide It.
Slide It, and that's a similar thing. You put your finger down.
Slide It was better until the newest versions of Swipe have improved a lot.
When I use the iPad, which has a much bigger keyboard than on my phone, I can't stand it because it's so slow to type. When I use my phone for typing, swiping, sending an email, sending a text message, sending a tweet. Using swipe is so much faster. I think people, I don't know what my words per minute are, but people routinely get up to around 40 words per minute using swipe. I don't know what you get on an iPhone without
it. I've got no idea, but I'm not writing a book on it. So
no, but if I want to send a tweet, I want to do it quickly and get back to what I was doing. And instead of going tap, 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 tap for a word, I can just go swoosh, swoosh, and the word's done.
Have you heard of Siri?
Well, I don't want to talk out loud to send, a carefully crafted one-liner.
It's okay, Morgan. You can just whisper into your phone.
Yeah, but I don't want people to hear what I'm doing. I don't want people
to
hear.
That's what you whisper.
Well, wouldn't it be easier to be silent and use swipe and send your message faster?
I just think that those things like swipe are kind of getting away from. Like it's a further step away from an intuitive interface.
It's not like graffiti. It's not like the handwriting recognition on the message pad. It's not like graffiti on the palm. You swipe your finger through the letters of the word.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it is actually intuitive.
It is intuitive.
It took me no time to pick it up. It's much easier than the previous, gestural, type out words or letters things. It's very fast and it's very easy to use. But that's less intuitive. Like the graffiti style thing, we've got to put in very specifically shaped glyphs.
Yeah.
It's not intuitive.
And it's also...
That was kind of a hack for old school hardware. And
so for the time it takes to write an A, I can write a whole word.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
If we can get you an Android phone...
Well, the iPhone's had this stuff in jailbreak for years.
But if we can get you a decent Android phone, will you use it for a while?
Well, that's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? So
no.
No.
No, you sound... No.
Don't be a hater.
No.
what's a decent Android phone?
Like Galaxy S2.
Something... I don't know. I have no idea if we have the ability to get you one, but...
We haven't got the ability to get him one.
I think we can do it. Somehow.
But he'll hate it regardless.
No, I just want just so you understand where we're coming from on the widgets thing and on the swipe thing and on the whatever.
He's lunking apple seed. There's no way he's gonna ever see.
Would you?
I don't know.
For discourse?
We'll get you to report back on it.
Okay.
Right, well, I've got to try and find you a decent phone.
You're not going to. And you've been ignoring him, keeping on saying that you can get swipe for iPhone. You just need to jailbreak it.
No, but it's not just about swipe.
The thing is that Leighton would have to use an Android for probably a couple of months to get out of the iPhone mindset. And he's not going to do that.
No, you're right.
The iPhone is his bread and butter. So he'd never make the change. It's the same thing that the switches always say and always said to me. Even though I had a fucking iMac on my desk for 4 goddamn years, they were like, oh, you just need to give it more time. You'll learn to love feeling like you've been lobotomized. Just give it a little bit more time. There was no point at which I felt like it was great for me to have less access and less control over my computer. There was no point where that happened.
Insane columns of each folder after another will make sense to you eventually.
That is, yeah, the Finder. What the fuck? People who really love, I'm sure the same is true with Windows. People who really love their Apples, they've got a bunch of extra add-on apps. It's always true. They've added Finder? Quicksilver or whatever. They've added all that other shit. And that, they've got special apps that they've added, and that's the stuff that they like. It's the same with Windows. So, like, I wouldn't be happy with Windows if I couldn't have Chrome and Putty and VLC. These are all things I can have on Apple as well. But I'm not happy with my Windows machine until I've got these things.
Of course not. It's kind of what makes you a computer.
Exactly. Exactly. That's true.
So you want the freedom to customize your machine.
Yes.
And not be locked down to what Steve says.
Yeah, that's right. But actually, I might not be. Now, let me just drop this mind bomb on you. I would probably be an unhappy Windows user if I bought Windows machines off the shelf. I build my own, so I've never had to deal with shovelware.
So you're a freak.
I am uncommon. I am old school. It used to be normal to build your own PC. once upon a time.
I think the shovelware thing is getting less of a problem.
I've never had to deal with shitty memory and a crappy video card and junky components causing blue screens because I chose my components. And I don't even need to be deeply embedded in the world of PC hardware. You just need to go and look at Tom's Hardware or Anantech just for a couple of days and be like, okay, I want that. I want that SSD and I want that video card because they, you know, the best on the latest reviews. And then you build a machine which is fucking stable as a rock. But not a rock that, you know, just sits there. And so this is a rock with high-performing GPUs and CPUs. Let me just be clear. I'm not talking about a rock in the sense that it doesn't do anything. That's not the kind of rock I'm talking about.
Talking about a big...
I'm talking about a big computer that does exactly what you want it to do when you want it to do it. And the craziest thing about my latest machine is that it's so quiet. It is creepily quiet.
Like a fanless Mac.
Yeah, exactly like a fanless Mac. But it's got a bunch of case fans. It's got a bunch of big hard drives.
It's
got
$6,000 less.
It's got a great big CPU. Oh, it's got a great big video card, a big gamer's video card in it. And it is silent. It's so creepy. I've grown used to it now.
It's just not normal, though. Normal people don't do that. So
I know. And so maybe...
And Apple had it for normal people.
So. And when I use other people's laptops, like PC laptops, like Dell's or whatever, I'm like, this isn't very nice. This isn't very nice. I don't like it.
They just feel junky.
They absolutely feel junky. And that's something that Apples don't do. They don't feel junky. I don't like the operating system, but I do always like the hardware.
So do you actually own any Apple hardware?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Laptop?
No. I've got an iPad on my desk right now.
Oh, right. Okay. Why don't you run Windows on Mac hardware?
Because I would have to pay a great deal more, I think.
Would you?
Well, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
See,
I'd have to get a Mac Pro
laptop.
Later,
a MacBook Pro.
Oh, if you're talking Mac Pro, then yeah, that's a waste of money.
They're quite overpriced. Now they seem to be Mac all Pro high performance, but they're overpriced. Now, in terms of laptops, I think that the premium, at least in the at the lower end, the premium is not as grotesque as it once was. Well, I mean, once upon a time, to get
way you could beat a MacBook Air price.
Well,
is that true? The Acer S3, these so-called ultrabooks, have very much the same form factor. A lot of reviewers say that the design is better now because they've had a couple of years to try. It's better now than the Air, and those are starting to come on stream now. The ultrabooks, and they're all, you know, Core i5, Core i7. The S3 has 200. It's got an SSD and a spinning hard drive. I don't understand what the point of that is. I think it's to have big, cheap storage and then kind of quite a large cache.
Yeah.
And it is...
Too cheap to put in decent size SSD, essentially.
Well, but of course you can put a big SSD in if you want. But the difference is that, you know, you'll get that machine for... 14. I think they were about $1,300 or $1,400 on Price Spy in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
$1,400, something like that. They've only just come out though, so I haven't actually seen one in person. And the time that you really appreciate a MacBook Air is when you see it in person. It is fucking lovely.
I got a MacBook Air and I immediately put Windows 7 on it. Not for me,
but
for someone else.
The thing about the MacBook Airs is that to get the same amount of space as you get on this Acer S3 for $1,400, you have to spend $2,800 to $2,900.
What?
Yeah, to get the 256, 13-inch, right? Don't you have to spend about $2,800? The $1,700, $1,800 MacBook Air has the tiny SSD.
Yeah, there's a 1,500.
2 gigs of RAM, slowest processor.
Yeah, those are 11-inch ones, like the decent size one. The 13-inch one's like $2,000 or something.
Exactly. And the only way to get the Core... Now, I think that $2,800-ish one is probably Core i7. And I think that Acer S3, that price, that $1,300, $1,400 price, I think that's probably a Core i5. So there are definitely differences.
The 13-inch is i5. The fact all the MacBook Airs are i5.
No, I think you can get an i7.
I don't think...
You can probably i7. Do a custom build.
I think that with the...
No, you can't custom build shit on the MacBook Airs.
No, you can. But you've
not,
but only
not
with the
i7,
13. Oh.
Yes,
right, well,
can.
There's an easy way to find out.
Yeah,
we can go to Apple.
You can go to an i7.
Nice. But I think that's only on the 13-inch. And so,
yes.
I mean, there is a degree of custom eligibility there. But the price then, you know, understandably, is higher. But the top price there, I mean, the top spec there is about the same as a little bit faster than the basic spec on the Acer S3. Anyway, the point is, it is possible to get thin and light and nice PC hardware, but most of it is not nice. Most of it's shit. Most of it's junky, creaky plastic, too thick and too heavy with shitty battery life and crappy screens.
Sounds about right.
Yes.
Exactly. And yeah, I mean, so I always like the Apple hardware. I don't like the OS X though. But why would I buy a MacBook Air for this? Finally, we're getting back to the point. Why would I buy a MacBook Air for $2,800, put Windows 7 on it, when I can get a little Acer with almost identical specs, same form factor, for half the price? Almost, well, okay, but, you know, one MacBook Air is not the same as another either. I mean, there's different models of MacBook Air.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I've seen comparisons of the MacBook Air with a lot of other PC Ultrabooks or whatever, and I think their price is pretty competitive.
It's a pretty niche market. I mean, to be playing it like
These thin and light laptops are going to be the mainstream. Yep.
It's a new market that the larger manufacturers haven't got into yet. It's relatively niche on the PC side, so they have a head start.
Well, they used to call it netbooks, but they were shitty. And then
netbooks and ultrabooks are very different. Netbooks and ultrabooks are very different. I mean, the thin and light. I mean, what did they used to call them? Ultra portable, maybe. Is that what they called them? Like the old ThinkPad X's or something?
Ultra expensive.
Yeah, like the $8,000 IBM ThinkPad, or Lenovo ThinkPad.
The Sony tiny ones.
Yeah. The little Toshiba librettos. Useless, 640 by 480. Why would anyone need any more than that? The problem with netbooks is the screens are always shit. They're always, even though you think, oh, that'll be nice and small, they're always actually really thick. And they're incredibly slow. But these laptops are nothing like the netbooks.
Anyway, I was going to say, if I was going to buy a laptop, I was looking at a MacBook Pro.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's good for editing.
Well, that was the point. It's good for, I can run Windows on it, I can run OS X, OS X on it, I can run Avid and Final Cut. I can run Avid on both sides and Final Cut under OS X, but I can't buy Avid anymore. I can't buy a Final Cut that's useful anymore. So
can you not? I thought that they reintroduced it.
They did. I think they reintroduced it.
Yeah, they've reintroduced it because there was such an outcry. I think they've reintroduced it.
Yeah, you sort of. You can't, I don't think at this stage you can buy it in New Zealand. The only way you can buy it in the States is via the 1-800 direct sales number. You can't buy it through any resellers, and you can't buy it online.
I think they were reselling stocked copies.
Yeah, and it's old stock. They're not actually, presumably at some point they'll run out of stock. I don't think they're manufacturing anymore, and there will never be any meaningful updates. It comes in a box, and it's basically dead.
They did reinstate the online bulk purchasing for corporates, though, of licenses, I believe.
Yeah, but they are outright refusing to sell it to resellers anymore.
Right,
which is weird.
Well, not really. It's Apple.
Yeah, I suppose. Although the thing was, Final Cut Pro was almost exclusively sold through resellers because it wasn't just Final Cut Pro you were buying. You were also buying a Matrox video card and a blah 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 this and a blah 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 that. You bought packages of stuff, and now those resellers can't sell that stuff anymore. So they're just not selling Apple products anymore.
Apparently, Logic Pro is supposed to be coming out soon, all Final Cut Pro X style as well.
That'll be fun.
So that'll be the next market to destroy.
It's much
or
smaller market.
Or completely reinvent.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So you would get a MacBook, Dylan. Would you get the 17 and put two hard drives in it? I think they take two hard drives.
I was looking at the 7. It's still expensive. Yeah. I mean, I can get an almost equivalently spec'd, almost as useful. The only reason I would have considered it was because I could dual boot it into OS X and run Final Cut Pro on it, which I don't really want to do, but occasionally I have need for.
Yeah.
But I mean, without a Final Cut Pro that I want to or have any need to run anymore, it's the cost benefit's gone. There's no point to me paying the premium for being able to run OS X.
Hey, Mark, say
legitimately. Yep.
Mark, you say this is a tech podcast, and then Dylan says this is a comedy podcast. Mark,
this is a tech podcast.
This is a tech podcast.
No, you meant to say this is a comedy podcast, Mark.
This is a comedy podcast.
This is a comedy podcast.
This is a tech podcast.
This is an Apple podcast.
Welcome to Apple the Steve podcast. Show.
let's kill this motherfucker, right? Because this is now, I think this is about a 2-hour overflow.
Can we cut the entire overflow?
No, but you just don't have to listen to it. Just like the rest of the show, but especially the overflow.
Except if you listened, if you were involved in the overflow last week, you would have heard the stuff that got cut out.
Yeah, and I'm glad I cut it. I was worried. I was thinking all day. I was like, you know, I'm comfortable talking about that. I'm not embarrassed about it. But is it a line we want to cross on the show? And I decided that no, it wasn't. It's still possible to get it because you can get the Mixlr version, which is the whole thing from the start of the broadcast to the end. Right. But the sound isn't so good, and it's kind of less accessible, and it doesn't appear in iTunes, and I don't put it up for download. But you can actually get that. You can get that bit with the whole thing that we're not going to talk about. That's not particularly interesting, listeners. Listeners, beloved listener, the one listener who's made it this far through Overflow. Mark, it's been
Matt,
great.
He's still there.
Mark, it's been great having you on the show again after so long. Dylan, as usual. And Leighton, thank you for joining us. We've tried a couple of times when you've been in the chat room, but this bloody Skype thing, eh?
Yeah.
I just don't do Skype. Yeah. It's a piece of shit.
Neither do I, except for this.
Yeah, it is a piece of shit. All software is kind of a piece of shit, except Airforms.
Skype in particular, though.
Oh, you know what? Skype runs a lot better under Windows.
Yeah, I hear it's a Microsoft thing, so.
listeners, thank you so much for joining us once again. Well, this has been a really long one. I enjoyed talking about Apple stuff. Not very well informed about it. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. Goodbye.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
You can say goodbye as well, guys. I'll cut out that bit.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you later.
All right, excellent. That was great. That was grand. That was wonderful.
I think it's valuable to talk about Apple not knowing what the fuck we're talking about.
That's, and I mean, we have the perception of consumers for but Apple,
who,
not experts.
Who knows what they're talking about.
That's true. I think that we probably got both sides of that fairly well. I don't. I mean, I'm not really a hater. I have a reputation for being a hater of Apple, but I'm not.
And Mark as well, because you run Max. I heard that I refuse to believe it because it seems ridiculous, but I heard that they'd removed Samba file share support from Lion.
No. The connect to server thing.
Really?
They did remove it.
No.
Because of GPL licensing, they've removed Samba and they've got their own one that they've written from scratch.
Really? So they still have support for SMB servers.
Mostly.
I.e. connecting to Windows machines on a network.
Yeah, so it will still connect to Windows shares, but it's not as configurable as
it was better? Before. Now, it's a long time since I've had the strife of being at someone's office and trying to figure out how to connect to a share on the network. Is it better now than connect to server? Can you find stuff through some kind of browse the local network thing? Because that connect to server thing is horrible.
I don't know. The network shit in the Finder has been absolute rubbish for years and years.
Finder got completely rewritten. Yeah. But it still looks like shit.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, we didn't talk about iOS 5 at all. I think that's coming out tomorrow for most of us.
Is it tomorrow?
I guess Leighton's been. You've probably been using it for a while.
Yeah, I've got it on my phone.
Swipe down notification area.
Oh, the notifications are so good.
That's from Android.
Finally, Android comes to iOS.
Well, actually, it was in iOS and jailbreak years and years ago.
It came from Android. As well.
Yeah.
Well, you just imagine.
I'm pretty sure that was before Android even existed. So
by iOS 6, you'll have widgets.
Yeah, notifications was the one thing that really shitted me off. That was so bad.
The first time I used an iPhone had no multitasking. Just fucking mental. In fact, my iPad had no multitasking when I bought it.
Multitasking doesn't matter though.
It fucking does.
It really doesn't.
Well, I suppose a good task suspension is helpful. But we're, like, you know, I'm a Twitter... And actually, you solved this problem, didn't you, with an app of yours. But I'm a Twitter addict. And, you know, without an app suitably multitasking... Well, it doesn't really multitask, I suppose it has a hook. But without an app multitasking in the background to notify me of tweets, I find it incredibly fucking frustrating. I don't know how they get around that now. I know there's ways around that, but... Little things like that.
There's all sorts of reasons for it, but
Windows Phone 7 didn't have the ability to do that. I could not get updates of tweets on Windows Phone 7 when I was using it. I'm not sure why they launched a product with like that.
I don't know. The big problem is the whole battery life side of things, especially with a network. So it's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, there's also the big problem with Android is, well, it's much less of a problem in 2.3 onwards, but it's task management.
Yeah.
Killing tasks that don't need to be running anymore intelligently.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that Advanced Task Killer is a popular app.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's so stupid.
It just shouldn't have to be.
No.
It makes no sense.
No. I've got to say, though, and this is something, Leighton, you probably will disagree with. For a long time, I actually believed the hype about that the App Store versus the Android Marketplace. They're both shit, and they're both equally shit. They're actually both bad. I believe that the App Store was better. It's not.
In what way?
In the way that it sucks.
I'd say there's...
It's full of shit. They're both full of shit.
Oh, exactly.
They're both full of shit. Yeah,
the signal to noise is so high that it's still just about impossible to find anything useful.
Yeah.
Yes.
The advantage that the Android store has over the App Store, I don't think there's an equivalent for the App Store, is that the Android store has meta stores.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any such thing for the Apple App Store, but I can get things like...
No, they're thinking about doing something like that because there is so much shit on the App Store.
Because I can get AppBrain, which tells me what other people who install apps I install might also install. And also I can even connect it with people I know and, you know, get recommendations.
Yeah, I have AppBrain as well. And actually, honestly, I've been using the normal marketplace since the update. Since the update, it's the app on the phone is not so bad. But and it's nice that finally Apple allow you to look at app information without having to load iTunes every time. But the thing is that they're both... ecosystems are absolutely full of junk. One thing that frustrates me is the iPad price premium. If you're getting an app that's HD, you will get fucked. You will get fucked, which is great for the developer, I'm sure, because you're probably still going to sell it. But God, I mean, paying like... I mean, when the talk is about, you know, $1, $2 apps, which of course we never get because we have the, you know... currency conversion. But then on iPad, you're not looking at $1, $2 apps. You're looking at $8, $9, $12, $30, $50 apps, which doesn't seem right, frankly.
Why not? Right.
Well, I mean, if I wanted it, I would pay, right? So they can charge whatever they want. Fine.
Yeah,
but a lot of these are very simple little apps, which are not actually worth what they're asking. And so I'm not paying. And I have got a couple of, you know, $12 apps, but I'm not going to get Omni Focus for $50. Fuck them. No way. I've got other task lists and such.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a whole...
It is weird.
Whole rabbit warren of discussion, I guess.
Yeah. Because, I mean, of course, there's the race to the bottom. You know, minimum price is not going to be necessarily a wonderful thing. But I think that, I mean, people were making... Some people were making a lot of money out of $1 apps. And on the iPad, they've decided that because of, I don't even know why, that they're going to have a $7 app instead of a $1 app, $2 app, whatever. And I think that's just kind of mean.
I think they realized that... Well, I think they also realized that, you know, there actually wasn't too many people making a lot of money out of dollar apps. And
yeah, it was quite a small...
The iPad was kind of a way to shift that.
How much is Airforms? $150?
$100 a license.
Right, $100 a license, right.
Yep.
Yeah. But that's quite a specific app, right? I mean, it's not for, it's not like, I mean, most of the things I get.
Not an impulse buy.
No, most of the things I get are music things and like play with sketching things. So, I mean, my stuff is impulse buy, which is why I'm fucked off when something is $15 to play with, you know, finger painting.
Especially seeing you can't actually, you know, try it before you buy it.
Yeah, and that'd make a huge difference, actually. There's probably...
It definitely would.
There's probably, you know, $15, $20 apps that I would buy.
Isn't there some ability to do that yet?
No.
Oh, that sucks.
It's actually really funny because I think... what was it? Maybe it was Final Cut. They put that on the App Store.
Mm.
Yeah, well, there's actually a trial version of it available now.
Now they've chucked it up on the website with the trial version. You can try it for 30 days, but you can't do that through the App Store.
Well, there's the other
thing. And because that's on the Mac App Store, you can actually do that. But, you know, iPhone apps, you can't actually do that at all. You can't offer a separate download outside of the App Store for people to try.
I don't know how the Mac App Store works, but someone told me that there's no ability. Like, if you you can't do upgrade pricing. So at some point, if you decide that you've written a version that is new and should be considered new and that someone should have to repurchase, you have to do a full price sale.
Yes.
So that when,
so there's no upgrade pricing at all across Mac App Store or iPhone App Store.
Yeah, so when the next version of Final Cut 10 comes out that will apparently fix a lot of the things that are missing.
Yeah, if they want to charge for it, everyone pays the same price.
Yeah, so it's not going to be a $50 upgrade, it's going to be a $300 repurchase.
It's a whole new purchase, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless Apple decide that they actually need that upgrade pricing.
Yeah, well, I suppose...
option, and they'll just build it, but, yeah. You know.
Well, it'll be interesting if that happens, because, you know, yeah, people were pissed off to start with if they have to pay the same price again.
And we've all had bug or feature enhancement requests in for this for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, because it's, you know, because there is a point where an app is, well, you don't want to resell it, but it's not the same product anymore.
Yeah.
You don't just want to make it a point one and make it a downloadable upgrade. You want to make someone pay for it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that rolls around, but I personally don't think that most of the things that people want to see in Final Cut 10 to replace Final Cut 7 will ever actually come.
Probably not. I think they're going down a different track altogether.
I wish they'd come out and say it, though.
Yeah. They're not particularly clear about where they're heading in a lot of...
Well, they're almost to the point of being deceptive, I think, anyway.
Yeah, I guess... I don't know. Dealing with the business side of Apple and, you know, the server stuff, it's kind of frustrating in that way that you kind of need some sort of roadmap or at least a clue of where they're going, but you just don't.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and so many companies you'll never get one from. Some other question I was going to ask you. I don't know. What's going to matter? Oh, do you like this music? What's that was?
I think Morgan likes it.
I love it so much. I mean, not necessarily that one in particular. That one's all right. It's not the greatest dubstep I've ever heard. But
it's the general genre.
It's far from the worst. Frankly, I actually think, what are they called? Mount Eden dubstep. I can't stand them. Stink of me. I should support the local boys. But I don't like their stuff. That it's not grimy. It doesn't do that. We are rusty and detonous, riddled in a swamp covered in sweat and mosquito bites, which is kind of a feel. I get the feel like I'm a robot, but I'm covered in sweat. When I listen to dubstep.
Hey, you know what else the Android store has, Latin?
And I'm not just a robot covered in sweat. I'm a robot having sex with 3 or 4 other robots, and we're all covered in each other's sweat. And we're all greasy and covered in, like, some kind of robot sex lube. And it's like, and that's what I, that's the feel I get when the dubstep really gets going.
I think Morgan needs to be alone now.
Morgan pretty much always needs to be alone.
That's why we Skype in.
I've had Monster, don't you know?
We dare not visit Studio 1A.
I used to have a sofa that folded down into a bed in the studio. Now I have a chair.
I've seen that video, what you did to Carl. I don't want to go on that couch ever again.
I was going to say, the Android store has refunds.
Right. I think the Apple store does as well.
No.
Kind of.
No, no, it does.
Yeah, you have to email them and make a request.
Right.
Yeah. It's not
it's kind of tricky.
The Android store dropped that down to 15 minutes, though. It used to be longer.
Mm. Did it? It totally works for me. I can install an app and go, actually, no, this is bullshit. It's not what I want.
I would like some time in the app. Not some time, you know, from the time I purchase it, but some time from the time I start it. So if it's, I mean, it's hard, though, if it's a fiddly little game where the whole point of it is that it's only going to, you know, pass 30 minutes.
Yeah, I think...
Because if the expected usable lifespan is as long as you spend in waiting for your doctor in his waiting room, then it's not really fair to get 30 minutes in that kind of app. But so maybe $1
app. It's kind of got to be a developer prison sort of thing.
Yeah. So, there was an app I got.
This app, which is like $30. I want people to be able to try it for 30 days.
Right.
And then after that time, they either pay for it or lose it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like I bought TuneSync last week. It's $7 to... sync via Wi-Fi all my iTunes down to my Android.
Right.
It took 45 minutes to sync iTunes. So when I found that it didn't quite work as well as it should, my
you were already over
was
the
up.
Time. Right. That's tough. Mm. What should I be using for watching whatever I want This is something I asked on Twitter today. What should I be using for watching whatever I want on the iPad and the Apple TV?
I use Airstream for the iPad.
Xstream, did you say?
Airstream. Yeah, it was the one that Matt recommended.
Right.
I use Plex.
Sorry, no, AirVideo server. AirVideo, I guess it's
called. Oh, God damn it. So that's two suggestions for Plex and two suggestions for Air whatever.
So I use the Plex Android client so I can just watch it streaming down to my phone.
Yeah.
Or I can use it as a remote to actually control the computer.
On Android, I use BS Player, which just plays it on the phone. It doesn't stream or anything. I don't really
want to watch movies on the tiny screen.
I just use it in bed sometimes just to watch.
Yeah.
I tell you what, watching movies. Breaking Bad on the iPad, pretty nice.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad experience putting stuff on it, but I did have to handbrake it. And then I did have to sync using iTunes, and I don't really want to have to do that. I want to be able to stream it, but I want to be able to sit there with the iPad or whatever,
and I want to be able to send stuff server, on the fly.
Yeah, that's what Airstream does as well.
Yeah,
I think they all do it. I mean,
I'm sure there's a VLC
everything that was suggested
solution.
To me. I would quite like VLC, but I don't want to mess around. I don't want to have to mess around. I'm a fan
VLC
of VLC, but
streamer.
Yeah. Will that require messing around?
No, it's $1.99 on the App Store, and I think you get that. And I don't know how good it is though. But the
four Airstream and a half one, stars.
I got the Airstream one when it was free, yeah. And now it's not free anymore, so I haven't upgraded it. Just keep the old free one.
I think I got VLC Streamer Lite, or something like that. And the first time I started it, it was like, connect to whatever. And it turned out that I needed to have other software installed.
Yeah, there's like a Windows. You need to install something on your Windows side as well.
But the thing is that, I mean, shouldn't I just be able to run VLC? It's got remote interfaces. Why do I have to add extra software in addition to that?
Well, I mean, in fact, you could also, like VLC could actually be set to, you can set up VLC to play a file and transcode it and stream it over HTTP live. So then there's probably...
That probably won't work well with the Apple TV. What I mean, because the thing that I like about these, I think both Plex and Air Video Server both allowed you to start watching something on the iPad and then say, actually, I want to watch it on the Apple TV and then continue there.
Yeah,
is that true?
Whatever it's called.
AirPlay. I like that idea because we watch a lot of stuff on the Apple TV and we use Xbox Media Center. And that's fine. It doesn't require any transcoding. And it can just get stuff off the shares on the network. And that's cool. But Xbox Media Center, I don't enjoy very much.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's great that it can do that. I really like that it can do that. But it seems to crash a bit. Not much, but a bit. Usually not while I'm watching anything, but like if I'm browsing around, sometimes it doesn't handle it very well. I would like it if I could just use the... like that, the iPad can be a remote, I think, for the Apple TV. Like I've got, you know, the remote app installed. I would like it if I could just use that app to control the Apple TV and use the Apple TV to stream stuff off the network. And
apparently,
it doesn't seem like a big
ask. Actually getting quite close to being able to stream to AirPlay devices.
Oh, that'd be quite nice.
Yeah. Anyway. Right, I'm going to go now because I've got...
Holy shit, it's late.
Yeah,
last time I looked at the clock, it was 10:15.
So welcome to Discourse Extra, Extra, Extra Large.
Well, the broadcast is still going to one person.
Did we record?
Do you want to start?
Yeah.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I've got five.
Begin. Please note that the following program includes
Morgan
adult
Nickel,
themes
big
and
head,
language.
Big head, dickhead
You're listening to the Weekly Show on Discourse.
Next week.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
I'm Dylan Reeve, tired and grumpy.
And I'm Mark Dick, and I'm still an uncouth mountain man.
So what's going on? What's happening this week? Anything big?
What about that thing that happened last week with the...
You know, last week I wanted to call that episode Corned Beef, for obvious reasons.
No, we're not doing next week's
but
show.
But I had to call it Happy Birthday for...
Happy Birthday, Discourse.
For reasons. So Ben's not here. How long are we going to keep up the pretense?
He's in the chat room, though.
That's because Ben is asleep.
Yeah, for a change.
Yeah.
Old sleepyhead. Ben's not in the chat room anymore.
We've got a guest on Discourse.
Oh, goody. Who's the guest? I haven't got the sting lined up. Because
Leighton Duncan. We've got a guest. Apple developer extraordinaire.
We've got a guest on Discourse.
Cantabrian, as Bob's in the news groups once upon a time was fond of saying. Cuntab.
Now, ooh. I think we've got him on to talk about the massive earthquake that happened in Christchurch just a couple of days ago. Are we going that far back? Is that what we're recording?
Wow, can you imagine the shit storm? No, everyone in Auckland would shit if there was a magnitude 5. Can
whoa.
You? We would be so excited. Wow, 5.5. I mean, once upon a time, 5.5 actually would have been exciting anywhere in New Zealand.
You would have shit yourself.
Now, in Christchurch, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, again.
But that's why, not... why are you telling me about this 5.5? Just fuck off. Why are you wasting my time with this? you know, your 5.5 was so special, it even got a mention in Shortland Street.
Wow.
Yep, on last night's episode, at the beginning of the little bit where they talk about the Rugby World Cup shit, done.
Oh, God.
They said, I'm giving 20 points to Christchurch just for hanging in there.
Oh, vomit.
Far out. All right, boys. Right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everyone can go to bed now.
Excellent.
It's been grand. I'm going to turn off the broadcast now.
Fish and chats.
The show is cancelled. Beep.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
If you talk, you'll hear creepy sound effects. Told you.
Welcome to the internet. This show is just everywhere.
All right, let's do one of them. Let's see. Where's my button?
Push your buttons. Good night, internet.
Hello, internet. It's been so long since we spent time together. Hello, internet. It's been so long
since we've been together.
I don't understand.